Welcome to Redacted, everybody, on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we try to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores because they're run by corporate billionaires. And we have got a jam-packed show for you on this busy Thursday night. We're still watching the drama playing out in Washington, D.C. right now. Matt Gaetz put a vote in for Donald Trump for Speaker of the House just a short time ago.
Oh, so that's what we're doing?
Yeah, Donald Trump just received a vote. And he also revealed a secret text message that Kevin McCarthy has sent to other members of Congress saying that he will fund an endless war. Yes, that's the craziness that's happening.
Because that's what they want.
Oh, and that's what they're already doing, by the way.
Right.
So, like, what this is, like, new? Like,
we will give you this job, but you got to keep this war going because we're having fun.
So we're watching that very closely to see the drama unfolding there. When will he bow out? Will there be somebody else? So we'll bring that to you if that happens here momentarily. But in the meantime, we're also covering a bombshell news story that the documents are astonishing. And when you pour through this, you realize, holy smokes, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, has been running the COVID show. And everything that we've been seeing around it has been political theater. What I mean by that is very specific. I mean, on a number of levels, the fake trials that they were putting on in order to make us feel better about vaccines, all of that stuff was all theater, all being run out of the Pentagon. We have a special guest to break down this astonishing story in just moments.
Plus, we are going to tell you.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's like Twitter has become WikiLeaks.
Yeah. It feels like that recently. You're right. Good analogy. That's like an SAT question. Twitter is to,
right,
as WikiLeaks is to. Okay, we also are going to tell you about Jordan Peterson because he is being asked to be reprogrammed by a board of medicine in Canada for the crime of wrongthink. We're going to tell you what he did, how he's fighting back, and what they want to do. Basically, they want to do a Control-Alt-Delete on his brain. And he does not want that.
Can you erase Jordan Peterson's brain? Set him correct? I guess that's what they want in Canada. That's what Justin Trudeau's Canada is all about these days. Also, I have a conspiracy theory that I'm going to lay out for you, and it relates to the abortion pill and the very latest on the Biden administration's moves around the abortion pill, specifically in the biopharmaceutical complex. So I will lay out this conspiracy theory on tonight's show. You can tell me if I'm crazy or if, Clayton, you're spot on. I hope going into the weekend you'll say, Clayton, you're spot on, so that I'll feel good on my weekend.
Okay.
That's my goal. Like, I want to feel good, but maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrapping yourself up too much in this.
I know, but I put my heart and soul into this because I really believe that this is the case. So you can tell me whether or not I'm crazy. So we will talk about that.
Okay. Plus, we have some new data from the CDC that the Epic Time was able to get by a Freedom of Information Request Act because the CDC did not want them to have it. It shows that the CDC was aware of all manner of adverse effects of the COVID vaccine as it relates to other vaccines. We're going to show you those numbers. Are we going to show them only on this platform? No.
No.
We're going to move to Rumble to do that. So now you've been warned that we are streaming currently on both platforms. But that data is safer in a certain platform. It's not my data. It's the CDC's data. And so come with us to go through it.
Yeah. And we'll also tell you about a warmonger getting a new job. What network that happened. So all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome into the show. So glad to see all of you on this Thursday. Please become a subscriber of our channel. I hope you already are. We do this show Monday through Thursday live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you've clicked right now and you're wondering, are we live? Yes, we are live. Good to see everyone here in the chat. I'm seeing some, let's see, the Resort Voctor says, did you watch Died Suddenly on Rumble? Oh, yeah. Dan, let's see, Natalie is a smart hottie, Al Murray says. Natalie is a smart hottie.
Thank you, because someone on Twitter today said I just need to be more educated. And I was like, can you be more specific?
Yeah.
So,
she reads like two books a week. She has a master's degree. Like, how much more educated? please let us know. Like, if
I mean,
she's
hey,
not
that's
educated.
My goal too, is to always be more educated. Thank you for coming along with us on this ride.
That's the whole point of the show, is that if, you know, we go where the truth, you know, flows. And so we don't have an agenda. Like, if the truth suddenly tells us one thing, we follow that. We go where the
yes.
facts. We follow the facts on this
yes.
show. Just the facts, ma'am. We do have a daily newsletter. We want to point out to you our daily newsletter. It's free. We had a couple hundred of you sign up overnight for the newsletter. I hope we bring you value every morning in your inbox. It's totally free. You can get caught up on about four or five of the big stories of the day just by going to redacted.inc, not .com. It's .inc. Put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email. You must confirm it. That way Google knows, Yahoo knows, Hotmail. Do you use Hotmail? Does anyone use Hotmail anymore? Is that even around?
I don't know.
I still have one.
My mom even went to Gmail eventually. Maybe you've got a Proton Mail account. That's a good one. Anyway, you got to put in your email. You have to confirm it and verify that you want to receive the email first thing in the morning. And then you'll get a great email. See some of the great stories we cover, like we covered a big COVID story today in the newsletter. See right there. That's right out of our newsletter. We covered the CDC. In the newsletter, we had about four or five stories. Anyway, all you need to do is go to redacted.inc. That is the URL. Or go to redacted.inc to subscribe. Totally free. Totally free. Again, just go to redacted.inc. That is the URL. And then you can also become a channel member as well when you go to redacted.inc. So you can become a VIP member by joining the rebellion, going to the same website, and just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can become a channel member as well and support what we do here just for the price of a cup of coffee. Redacted.inc. Well, to our top story now, a bombshell new report shows that the Department of Defense, yes, the Pentagon, controlled the COVID-19 program from the very beginning, and everything we were told was political theater, basically to cover it up, right down to the FDA vaccine approval process. It was all theater. That means that human beings were used as props, essentially. According to newly obtained documents, the Pentagon used a combination of shady approval authorizations that are still in use, including the PREP Act, the Emergency Use Authorization, and other transaction authority, the OTA, all of which shielded big pharma agencies, medical participants that delivered unregulated vaccines from any liability and protected them, basically. We've gone through a lot of these documents and just showed how they are not on the hook for any of this liability. These new documents were obtained by a former executive of a pharmaceutical contract research organization. That person is Sasha Lidapova, and Sasha joins us now to tell us what she's uncovered. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Sasha.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. This is intense. I mean, when you first uncovered these documents, did your jaw just hit the floor, or did you know that this is what you were going to find based on the breadcrumbs you were already uncovering?
I was really shocked. I was working on this for quite some time. My first finding was that these products were not good manufacturing practice compliant. And that I found right away when they started being rolled out due to extreme variability of adverse events and deaths that were reported per each lot of the so-called vaccine. So that was very shocking to me as a pharmaceutical professional, because we know how high-quality pharmaceuticals typically must be manufactured. You know, they have to be very, very consistent. There should be practically no variation lot to lot in terms of toxicities or any other performance characteristics. And these products were varying about 1,000 times lot to lot. So that was extremely concerning. And I didn't realize why that was happening, but I just knew that they were not good manufacturing practice compliant. I later confirmed that through regulatory documents. And then the final piece of the puzzle was when I was able to see all these contracts from the DOD. They were released based on Freedom of Information requests and also Securities and Exchange Commission disclosures. And when I saw those contracts, there were around 400 that are now available for all COVID, so-called COVID countermeasures, including vaccines. I realized that was really what was going on. The Department of Defense used a very shady contracting practices and also used several laws that were put in place previous to COVID to do this, to shield pharmaceutical companies, to not conduct proper clinical trials, to do a lot of fraudulent, I would say, manipulations of public perception, and all in collusion, obviously, with mainstream media and these pharma companies. And so as a result, we have this theatrical performance called clinical trials, but they were actually not real. They did not, based on the laws that are used here and invoked in this process, the clinical trials are not required at all. And in fact, they cannot be conducted.
I mean, there's many really troubling parts of the story. We'll unpack a few of them, but that one stands out to me perhaps at the top of the list is the theatrics that were put in place for these trials. So there were human beings in many ways being used as props to paint the veneer that they were somehow going through deep trials to make sure that we were all safe with these vaccines. And you have, I know there was a, for instance, a 13-year-old girl. They in fact had an ad, the Vaccine Safety Council had put out an ad that was going to run during the Super Bowl. Then it was yanked by Comcast. They wouldn't allow it to air, which shows a perfectly healthy 13-year-old girl who went through this particular trial and then ended up having all sorts of adverse events. So these people were used as props, essentially, right?
Yes, exactly. And so the clinical trial subjects were deceived. But importantly, most of the clinical trial sites and investigators were also deceived. And most of the FDA employees were deceived because this particular scam is driven from the top. Only few people, as far as I understand, at the top of these organizations, the Department of Defense, HHS, FDA, BARDA, their legal counsels, they know. But then the rest of the regular employees and rank and file, and especially clinical trial subjects, of course, were kept in the dark. And in fact, under Obama administration Cures Act, amended, I believe, the emergency use authorization, or the, not emergency, the informed consent requirements, such that subjects don't have to be necessarily informed of what's going on if it's deemed not in their best interest. And so again, through it's too long to go into the legal history. There is very extensive research, hundreds of pages of documents on legal history of this. But the laws that they're invoking to run this program do not require informed consent, and also do not require the clinical trials.
So the people,
and they're not under FDA.
I'm sorry, this is unbelievable. So the people involved in these trials, they don't need to be informed about what is happening?
Yes, exactly. So the informed consent rules have been amended under Obama to say that if it's not in the best interest of the subject, who decides if it isn't? But that's what it says. So, these types of things can be concealed from people, that this actually under emergency use authorization used during public health emergency, this is very critical. That's why they keep extending public health emergency beyond any, we don't have any emergency, but they keep extending it. Why? Because they need this. Under public health emergency, emergency use authorized these kinds of medications, countermeasures, that's a key word. These are not vaccines, they're countermeasures. So all these three together, they can use it this way. They don't have to inform the subjects what it is. They can use a lot of secrecy. They don't have to run clinical trials. They're not required because these products cannot be investigational products. That's what the law says. If they cannot be investigational products, then we don't have any investigation. We don't have any clinical trial subjects. So that's how they're pulling this off.
So it's at the Pentagon. It's at the Department of Defense. You talked about countermeasures. And of course, I think what we all think of immediately is foreign threat, right? That this is, we're dealing with the Pentagon, right? It's supposed to protect us against foreign adversaries. So how is COVID a foreign adversary? And how is this being run through the Pentagon?
That's a great question. So from the very beginning, turns out that the Trump administration and subsequently Biden administration treated this COVID as war, as an act of war. because the National Security Council is setting COVID response policy, which is National Security Council doesn't have any health department representatives, only defense and intelligence. And so so National Security Council sets policy for COVID. HHS is not setting policy. HHS is not lead agency in response of it. They're managing information. So the top of the government is treating it as an act of war. And they're telling all of us, oh, it's a health event. It's a naturally evolved virus, jumped from a bat. And don't even mention, lab creation, because you'll be canceled on social media immediately and censored, right? So right from the start, we have huge deception going on. What in fact they're treating as war, they're telling people it's a health event.
And we learned from the Twitter file, Sasha, just this past week, the latest round of Twitter files, that the Biden administration was actively going after and trying to censor anybody who talked about lab leak theories and talked about Wuhan lab. And we're going after this idea that this came from a bat, came out of a lab. And so they were actively trying to censor that narrative. So this was all coordinated. And we know that multiple agencies were actively, of course, going after Twitter and social media companies and trying to keep this quiet. In these documents, does your research show, I mean, just how deeply does this go? I mean, how widespread is the Pentagon's tentacles in this? Does it reach to Dr. Fauci? Does it reach to other main agencies?
Well, yes. So they're all, in fact, coordinating this. In fact, there is... they even set up in 2013. So by the way, the planning goes, pre-planning goes years, at least 2012, 2013, based on the contracts and based on the documents that I have uncovered. So for example, there is Pandemic Enterprise. It's a quasi-private, quasi-government enterprise that's been set up in 2013 that involves 10 heads of federal agencies. It's called PEMSI. The abbreviation. And so 10 heads of federal agencies, including Department of Defense, HHS, FDA, NIH, Department of Agriculture, Energy, Veterans Affairs. So all of them together get together and secretly discuss these kinds of countermeasures, very secretly. So there is their memorandum of understanding pasted on FDA's website. And most of it, 90% of it, deals with how we're going to keep everything secret between each other, all the confidentiality disclosures, how we're going to communicate about this. So we have this cabal formed with a lot of secrecy and a lot of procedures to maintain secrecy about pandemic responses in 2013.
It's almost like they knew this was coming. I mean, this is where we talk about conspiracy theories on this show. I mean, it's all true. I mean, this is unbelievable. There it is, all in 2013. It's all laid out.
It's laid out how they're going to keep everything secret, and I wonder why what's supposed to be a health event is so secret from the public. So how is this even, you know? So then they're treating it as war, then again telling us it's health. So here we go. So they're covering up military activity with this representation of health event and health, a response to a health threat. So that's where people are not informed right away and being deceived. And then, because they've invoked this set of laws and they're using countermeasures, not even vaccines. So countermeasures are not pharmaceutical products. Countermeasures is it's all different category.
So to be clear, then it's not technically a vaccine, right? It's just a countermeasure.
It's a countermeasure,
like a bomb, like some sort of a.
Exactly. So countermeasure, and specifically, Department of Defense ordered them from private manufacturers as prototypes. So people were never told, "Oh, come over, get injected with countermeasure prototype." Were they?
No, and they weren't told that, right? Because as you pointed out, they were not on a need-to-know basis, right? So they didn't have to have informed consent. So here's a prototype we're going to inject you with, just like the 13-year-old girl we featured at the beginning here and talked about. Mm-hmm. Would her family have allowed that if they knew that this was just a prototype?
Absolutely not. No, people were told, oh, this is vaccine. This is safe and effective. It's been tested rigorously. By the way, no testing of safety have been done. They have not done any animal trials. They have not completed any animal trials, not even started them before they started mass injecting people in human trials. And that's a complete violation of all regulations everywhere in the world, including FDA. And again, nobody was told that. They said, oh, it's been tested. It's been in development. We've done preclinical trials. And they've done none. They just went straight into people and injecting this girl who is now paralyzed, as far as I understand.
And so some of the, well, from being an executive of a pharmaceutical contract research organization and studying these contracts extensively, that they are completely shielded from... They have immunity here. They have basically, no liability for Pfizer, Moderna, any of these companies, right? They're totally protected. Is that what the documents show you?
Yes. In the DOD contracts so that I've reviewed, there is a separate clause that's a PREP Act clause in all of them. And it says that, under PREP Act, you're covered person or covered entity. And in fact, everyone along the supply chain, so not just the manufacturers, but all of their suppliers, raw material suppliers, the delivery people, the pharmacy or hospital, or whoever injects these products, they're all considered HHS employees, regardless where they work. They're all considered HHS employees, government employees, for the purposes of this exercise. And the product, this countermeasure prototype military biowarfare agent, is owned by the Department of Defense throughout this process until it gets injected into the person. Nobody takes possession of it. So that's how they completely protect themselves from any liability. Now, it doesn't mean that people shouldn't go after everyone, including the vaccinators, and those will be thrown under the bus first, obviously, because they're little people, but everyone should go after the vaccinators who did not provide informed consent, to after the manufacturers, after the hospitals. And I encourage everyone to do that because this is important.
Yeah, I mean, we've had so many of our viewers, and you can let us know in the chat right now as you're watching our show, we've had so many of our viewers, tens of thousands of our viewers, tell us on a regular basis, either someone close to them. I mean, last night we had a mother tell us that of her five children, one of them has died. I mean, we have this every night on our show, stories of this on our show. So it's unbelievable. I'll get you out of here on this question, Sasha, which is about the future. So they planned this in 2013, as if they already knew this was coming. But it sounds like, from my reading of this, they're already planning the next one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're running the script. So the next important thing that they want to do is to give up our sovereignty to WHO under the international health regulations, meaning that WHO now can announce pandemic whenever they feel like it, which they did with this one anyway. It was only 40 cases worldwide, and they decided it's a global pandemic, which is ridiculous. But now they can announce a pandemic whenever they feel like it. Maybe there's a pandemic of trees. Maybe there's a pandemic of goats. And they will come up and say, oh, it's a climate change pandemic. And everybody goes into lockdown. And our government and Biden administration specifically want to give up our national sovereignty so that whenever WHO decides that this is a pandemic, we have to go in and implement all of their ridiculous lockdown and murder protocols that they dream up, right? So that's how it's going to be. And so that's what we need to write to our congressional representatives about and protest, and to our state governments. The state governments need to say, no, we're not going to give up our sovereignty. Federal government cannot decide for us. And so that's what needs to happen, because within the next year, they're going to put this in place.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and there's very little any of these countries can do right now. We've had Africa stand up to the WHO. Thankfully, member states in Africa were able to say, no, we don't want this. But I think it's going to be pushed through anyway, unfortunately. And we will be ceding sovereignty to an unelected body that will run the show on all of this. Sasha, thank you so much for your amazing research on this. We hope you'll come back on the show. Thank you for your continued work. We really, really appreciate you telling this story.
Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, guys, I mean, what do you guys think about this? I mean, I just
my
can't
mind wrap. Is blown.
Yeah. I mean, to think that you, just to think for a second, that you don't have to be informed of what's about to be put in your body. Like, you're not on a need to know basis.
Right.
Like, well, we're going to jab this thing into you. We're not going to tell you what's in it. You're not allowed to ask what's in it. And you're not allowed to find out. You're not on a need to know basis. Here you go. Bend over.
Well, and like I learned on the Died Suddenly documentary, that, like I was saying, they have all of these medications have a pamphlet that come with them that is a big, huge piece of paper that you unfold, and it has all the information on it. And for these vaccines, it says intentionally blank, and it is nothing. It's just a big piece of blank paper. They don't want you to know anything about these.
Yeah,
because they get to list and they get to stay, as Sasha pointed out, on this emergency use authorization hamster wheel that continues to go. And coming up a little bit later in the show, when I talk about the abortion pill and the unbelievable revelations about that, you're going to see some similarities here in these stories. So that's just coming up in a few minutes.
I want to say, too, how that kind of affects people's thinking, because I was having a conversation with somebody on Twitter, and they're like, yes, it is approved. They have approved it for emergency use. And I'm like, but that is not an approval. Like, people think that that is an approval. They said, no, look, on the FDA website, it says it is approved for emergency use, and it is approved for kids this age to be used as emergency use. That is not approved. They are not approved by the FDA.
That is true. Yes.
Anyway, our thanks to Sasha. Amazing work. And I'm going to invite her back on to do a deeper dive redacted conversation to go through a lot more of these documents.
And what strikes me about her research is that she just is an industry insider and was like, something doesn't pass the smell test here.
Yeah.
And just started to dig.
Well, isn't that the best kind of person? So she worked she was an executive at a pharmaceutical company, and now she's devoted herself to uncovering these. She knows what's in these contracts.
Yeah.
And so she knows what to look for. Like, that's the best. I mean, it's like having a whistleblower, basically, right?
Yeah.
So she's not a whistleblower. She just comes from the
inside. Yeah, comes from that inside.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And maybe she has blown the whistle in other ways, but she's certainly blowing the whistle on this. And
yes,
this is huge.
I hear it loud and clear.
Where they can find her. I noticed that she had a Substack.
Yeah, we had her Substack up on the screen.
It's Sasha. What was her name?
Let's look
Lenapova,
over this.
Yeah.
Spelling. Yeah, Lenapova.
Just like it sounds.
.substack.com. So it's just her name, her full name, first last name, substack.com.
Yeah, so check out her Substack. She's got some great reporting over there as well. So thanks, Sasha, for joining us. And thanks to all of you for subscribing to the channel. That's the kind of stories we like to bring to you here on the channel. So when you support our channel, we're able to do this and provide, you know, great researchers like Sasha on here on the program. So thank you for subscribing on both Rumble and YouTube. We really appreciate it. We've got a lot more news to get to here on this Thursday night. We're going to talk about Jordan Peterson fighting back against Trudeau's crazy government and what just unfolded with Jordan B. Peterson. And we're also going to talk about the abortion pill and some major moves overnight from the Biden administration. And we're also watching the drama right now out of Washington, because Kevin McCarthy just lost the 9th vote. If they moved, here's my prediction right now, hand of the heavens, he's done. He's
done. Is that what you think?
He's done. You heard it here, right here on Redacted. And I'm checking with some sources right now in Washington on this. I think he's done. I think he's going to have to. This would be the longest speaker battle in 167 years if he doesn't draw. If he continues and they go to a 10th vote, this would be the longest drama in 167 years.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Well, I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised to see, because like with the 20 holders out, that like, because a couple people voted present. Which the thing is, if all 20 of them voted present, then it would lower the threshold for the majority vote by 20, which would mean like he would get the same amount he's been getting and it would actually be a majority towards the Democrats. So it's just an interesting little play going on there.
Yeah,
it's funny with the procedural. And I should mention 164 years, not 167 years, but nevertheless. So we're seeing that it could be Donald's that ends up pulling it out for the Republicans. Donald's could end up becoming the Speaker of the House, which would be fascinating. So anyway, more on that in a second.
Every time this story comes up, I hear the Hamilton line, "You don't have the votes."
You don't have the votes.
All right. It's not so funny, but maybe would we call this Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude? I don't know. I mean, here's a guy. He literally wears like a Ukrainian flag pin. He sent a text message to a colleague this afternoon saying that he is ready to fund an endless war. Like, please vote for me. I will fund an endless war. Like, really? Like, this is what we want?
But that is the caricature of a politician who's saying all the things that he needs to say in order to get elected. It should be working. That's the formula.
That's why I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious because here's a person who thought he had it in the bag.
Yeah.
Like the establishment thought he had it in the bag, and here he is not able to get it. So that's the funny part to me, is that in so many ways, this power structure is starting to crumble a bit, and we're witnessing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. People are saying enough is enough. $1.7 trillion you're going to send to, we can't, we're just continuing to print this blank check. We can't afford it. And you know what Matt Gaetz asked for? He said, "I'll give you my vote if you will," part of our caucus, "if you will vote for a balanced budget amendment." So we have a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
If you will also pull back on the funding of Ukraine. And also make sure that the border is secure. There's a provision in there for the security of our border. And McCarthy told him no.
Oh, no.
Like, so no balanced budget, no border protection, and no on pulling back money for Ukraine.
But yes, on a large defense bill and maybe...
Yeah.
You know,
endless
some new
money
parks
for the biopharmaceutical complex,
sure,
and weapons. So anyway, we'll keep our eye on this drama as it unfolds. But first.
All right. First, we'd like to tell you about our friends over at Shopify, because Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling, succulents or stilettos or aprons, or something I just ordered for my kids over the holiday season was these little cute little stamps that said, "This book belongs to Miles Morris," and I'm obsessed with them, self-inking stamps. If that's your bag, baby, Shopify is the place to go.
Also, we just launched our redacted store on Shopify.
We don't have self-inking stamps.
But we sell redacted hoodies and mugs and stuff, but we used Shopify, the whole back end of Shopify, and it's been a game changer for us.
Yeah. I love self-inking stamps. I just love them. Can we work on that, please?
You're more interested in the self-inking stamps.
So I still have a self-inking stamp that says, "This book belongs to Natalie Del Conte," and Clayton won't let me use it because that's my maiden name.
That's that old single woman who's no longer, no longer around.
I'm kicking things over my self-inking stamps. Whatever it is that you want to sell, Shopify offers every sales channel, from in-person point-of-sale systems to an all-in-one e-commerce platform. It even lets you sell across social media marketplaces like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. Plus, it's packed with industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without having to learn any new skills in design or code. And thanks to 24/7 help and an extensive business course library, Shopify is there to support your success every step of the way. There is possibility for you and your business, and it is powered by Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/redacted. That's all lowercase, and it's just for our viewers. It's $1 per month for a trial period at shopify.com/redacted to take your business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/redacted.
Okay. So, yeah. And I just hearing from a source who deep inside of Washington, a well-respected source says, and I said, you know, is McCarthy done? All signs seem to, you'd think so, but there doesn't seem to be anyone else. You're not allowed to see my sources.
I know who that source is. Yeah,
and that's a very connected source.
I would say.
Yeah. This person says, but there doesn't seem to be anybody else. But, you know, if he steps aside because he doesn't have the votes and he's doing the conciliatory thing.
What, implosion?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, clearly there's party disunity right now.
I want to see a Rumpelstiltskin right through the floor of Congress, of the House of Representatives.
A Rumpelstiltskin?
Because he stomps through the floor, right? When he doesn't get his way, he like literally stomps through.
Are you thinking?
Yes, I was following you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's Rumpelstiltskin that throws a... It happens at the end when he gets fooled and he just stomps the ground and disappears.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. I just think of him sleeping forever.
What the hell are you
doing?
No, that's
Rip Van Winkle.
No, you're thinking of
Rip Van Winkle. Okay. I got my fairy tales.
I would love to see a Rip Van Winkle in Congress. All of them just go sleep for 100 years.
I know, that's what I was
we
like.
We got this.
They're already sleeping. What the hell do you need more? Okay, Rip Van Winkle, Rumpelstiltskin.
I don't know.
Fee-fi, fo-fum.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Jordan. Should we go to north of the border to Jordan Peterson in Canada?
We should, because a professional standards board in Canada wants to punish. Let me take that again.
Okay.
A professional standards board in Canada wants to punish psychologist Jordan Peterson for what is basically wrong think. That means that Peterson is saying the things you're not supposed to say on the internet, and they want to train him to be a good boy and use his massive social media platform for right think. You know, things like COVIDism or transhumanism, pro-warism.
Like anti-truck convoyism.
That.
All anti-white supremacy. All the stuff that Justin Trudeau loves to talk about, right?
Sure. Yeah. But if you're familiar with Jordan Peterson at all, you know he does not want to be a good boy. He's popular for saying things you are not supposed to say. So he is pushing back with litigation.
Can I correct you on that? Because he says in multiple interviews, time and time again, I do not want to be a rabble rouser. That is not my goal. He said, I'm a person who studies and reads constantly and researches. This is Jordan's words, not mine. He says them much more elegantly than I can. And I don't mean to be a flamethrower. I'm just presenting you with facts. And if that bothers you, I'm presenting research and facts. And if that bothers you, then you're somehow labeled a bad boy. Like,
right. Okay. I'm oversimplifying with the good boy, bad boy. He has said, for instance, in the incidents we're going to talk about later when he was punished on Twitter, he's saying he would rather die than take down something and admit that that thing was hateful and inappropriate.
Okay.
He's not going to toe the line for sort of woke values and virtues.
Right.
He's not interested in that. He's only interested in where his research takes him and what he feels like he has to say. Does he always say it in the most sensitive way? I don't know. You'd be the judge of that. But we are here. We are free speech purists, and we are speaking out for all free speech. And so he has not said anything illegal. Whether or not it's a violation of a standards board, even the standards board themselves has not said that anything he said is a violation. So we're going to show you. The College of Psychologists of Ontario launched a review of Peterson based on complaints, and they concluded that he must be required to take social media training or else risk losing his license. You can see this for yourself on their website. It says that the decision released based on these inquiries and complaints decided to require Dr. Peterson to successfully complete a prescribed specific continued education or remedial program. The substance of this, we're going to call it SCERP, is a coaching program to address issues regarding professionalism in public statements. And as it stands, Dr. Peterson has filed a notice of application for judicial review of the Ontario Divisional Court. Now,
a SCERP sounds like something like, it's not quite a burp, but it's like where you choke down, you know, like water, and you don't quite burp, but you kind of slurp down.
That's like what they want him to do.
Right.
Is like
a SCERP.
It's almost an onomatopoeia.
I mean, just think about the balls on this, that they... the idea that they would send him to some sort of a training program because they don't like how he speaks publicly.
Right. It reminds me of a hard reset of a hard drive, basically.
Right.
And so, you know, they invited us with this link to click on what a SCRP is. So I took that opportunity. Here's how they define what they want him to do. It's an outcome available after these conflicts, right? And it says that after this is completed, it's noted in your public register. But at the bottom of interest, it says it's not a finding of professional misconduct or incompetence. A SCRP does not affect a member's ability to practice or their registration status. Once it's completed, the matter is considered closed. So they're not saying he's done anything wrong at all. They're just saying they want to reprogram him remedially, like it says.
Keep your eyes open. Gonna have you sit there with the toothpicks in your eyes and watch the films so you'll be trained, like retrained again over and over again, like into Trudeau's government's program.
Right, for saying uncomfortable things. His daughter, Michaela, explained more about what this training entails, and it is egregiously vague and also financially burdensome. Listen.
It's such a scam, too. They're requiring him to do media retraining that he pays $225 an hour for an unspecified amount of time. And then at the end of that training, they decide whether or not he's learned anything and whether he can continue being a psychologist. This isn't even a process that goes to court. It's just this regulatory board of like 12 tyrannical individuals. It's crazy that what you say online can be used to get rid of your license if people don't like you politically, which doesn't sound very democratic to me.
So could he just do it and surmise what they want from him and answer the questions? Probably.
I mean, it would almost make me for some excellent content on his behalf. Like, this is the stuff that he thrives on. So, like, that he could go through this and talk about how ridiculous it was, right?
Yes, but I think what she is saying there is that it's an open-ended goal. So this SCRP is not a just like traffic school where you go and you're done.
You pass your test.
It seems to be that they're going to test him and say, now, do we misgender people on Twitter? Right? And right. You have to answer. Now, do we call Justin Trudeau a dick?
Yes, we do.
No.
That's, damn it.
See, that's wrong.
Fail it. When you see Izzo dancing around.
Clayton, you got a D-.
Damn it. I keep trying. When we see Izzo dancing around with a flute half naked, do we celebrate the fact that she's, you know, morbidly obese? Yes, we celebrate that. I got that right?
Who?
Isn't it Lizzo? Yes.
No,
Lizzo?
That's
Izzo?
Not. Okay. No. No, and his issue with weight came from a different... Okay, we're going to get there.
But that's the stuff that he gets yelled about. Yeah.
So let's just sort of quickly go down the list of things that they don't like him for, and why he's on the naughty list in the first place. He criticized Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for COVID lockdowns and travel bans.
Oh,
here's
no.
That tweet. He said that he will never forgive Justin Trudeau, or forget, rather, that his father didn't make it to California for his daughter's wedding because of the travel ban.
Yeah.
He spoke out against a plus-size model on the cover of Sports Illustrated because he thinks that obesity should not be celebrated because it harms people's health. Here is that tweet.
And by the way, we're normalizing this now.
Sure. I mean, that's uncomfortable. I find that tweet uncomfortable. I'm not going to condone it. I personally don't like the way it's presented, but again, as a free speech advocate, I have to say that you have the right to feel that way.
Yeah,
you don't have to say that that's beautiful.
Right. And if Sports Illustrated puts that on the cover and then celebrates it, you have a right to respond. Like, it's a magazine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this is a woman in her own house, in her backyard, and you're yelling over the fence at her. Like, this is the front cover of Sports Illustrated, a magazine designed to make millions
of
dollars.
Yes, but your words will have an effect on her, as you know. And so the point is well taken that obesity harms humans. Is that a nice way to say it or a nice way to speak about women? No. But again, it's not illegal. Okay, what else? Well, Peterson was one of the first to speak out about transgenderism in Canada as a social contagion on an episode of Joe Rogan. And even before that, we've spoken extensively about the research about this very thing, about how Dr. Lisa Lippman was the first to publish research around what is called rapid onset gender dysphoria. He was talking about this. In 2016, he spoke out against gender pronouns as compelled speech. We've covered that before. Again, in a free society, you cannot compel anyone to say anything, not even the Pledge of Allegiance. So definitely not preferred pronouns. So why are people being compelled to use pronouns at risk of professional licenses and other privileges, as even parenting? And then again, he dead named actor Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page, on Twitter. That means that he used the actor's previous name before a gender transition. Should we show this tweet, or maybe we shouldn't? I don't know. What do you think, Philip?
This one, I don't know. I can't read it from where I'm at because it's
okay. I'm not going to show it to you in case that, you know, the algorithm. And you know, he called the actor the old name, that person was born as a biological woman, and that female name. And Twitter said that you have been guilty of violating our rules against hateful content. He says you can, Twitter gave him the ultimatum. You either delete the tweet and admit that this is hateful speech, or you don't delete the tweet and you get punished. He refused. Here is his clarification on that, when he says that Twitter didn't even give me any real rules or specifications about the violation. Watch.
We unfortunately have to guess at why this has occurred, and that's actually a big problem in and of itself, and also indicative of the utter carelessness of the Twitter organization with regard to the propriety of its own censorial actions. I should at least know exactly what I did wrong if I am required to acknowledge that my tweet violated the Twitter rules. What rules, you sons of bitches? Exactly. Precisely. Because such things matter when the accusations start flying.
Okay. Well,
that's how I'm going to talk from now on.
You already do.
I'm going to do that. I already do talk like that. But oh, yeah.
Are you going to do it in a Canadian accent?
I'm going to do it in a Canadian accent, and I'm going to do it in a slow and stilted way with a nice, long, dramatic pause in the middle of it. I'd like to know.
You sons of bitches.
What is it that, do all, by the way, it's like William Shatner, do all Canadians have to talk like that with that dramatic pause in between? Some people in the chat saying, like, on our Rumble chat, CDSC1834 says dead named isn't even a thing. Sorry. Like, that's another reason. Like, now we're even like, we're giving names to things that we're supposed to feel sorry for, like dead naming. Like, who came up with that? Oh.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you, but those are the rules on social media and some of the platforms we are currently on.
The rules of the companies of, not
right.
Like the social norms of.
But Stanford, if you look at some of these colleges, Stanford just did a whole like thing of language that they have to change, like words on the campus. So they have a whole paper that shows you what you can no longer say. And this kid was reading it, and it's completely crazy. And that's the thing, like, it's getting into the college level, and then it's going to come to the mainstream. And we've already had definitions changed for woman in the dictionary, in Webster, right? Webster's, like, was that the one?
I think it was
it?
Cambridge.
Cambridge, yeah.
Cambridge. So it's coming.
Okay.
You sons of bitches.
All right. Now, Peterson was reinstated to Twitter last November, but the mainstream media still wants you to hate him. Look at the outrage. Outrage, I say, when he met with footballer Cristiano Ronaldo, and Ronaldo posted a picture of himself on Instagram. Here's just one headline. He's worryingly praising Jordan Peterson as a fantastic man. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo holds this opinion in his own brain, and we should all be worried that he's formed that opinion. Here's just the Instagram, in case you want to see. It's just them standing together with a thumbs up. He can't be thinking for himself, Cristiano Ronaldo. We may have to reboot him, too.
Yeah, like, clearly he's been hit in the head with a soccer ball too many times.
Uh-huh.
That he's drank too much water, because, you know, he doesn't like the soda. And he cannot think on his own. We worryingly praising
He's got cauliflower ear. He's been hit so many times with the soccer ball.
What's that?
It's like from when you're like jujitsu or you're a wrestler, you would get your ears pulled by the opponent and you'd get your cauliflower ear and turn in like a big fruity thing.
Gross.
It's nasty.
All right.
It is.
So I think I've painted the picture properly as of Peterson as a bit of a firecracker. He says the things that, you know, good woke puppies should not. And he says that in ways that sometimes are inflammatory, but by no means illegal. These are opinions that a society with a diversity of thought should have, in my opinion. Even the Wall Street Journal is arguing that these reprogramming classes are wrong. Here's from the Wall Street Journal opinion page. Professional bodies are supposed to ensure that practitioners are competent, not enforce political orthodoxies or act as language police outside the office, but that's the trend in Western medical associations and beyond. The Law Society of Ontario has pushed a mandatory diversity pledge for all lawyers until a member's revolt took over the board and nixed the pledge in 2019. At the time, an Ontario lawyer objected to the ever-expanding mission to socially engineer the profession. Sounds like an issue of id, ego, and superego. You could ask a psychologist about it, preferably one that has not been reprogrammed. So what will the courts do with this? He seems to be appealing it to a higher body. Will it go to a public trial, or will this college of psychologists say, we're not going to be able to defend this. We just wanted you to do this because we don't like what you're saying, but there's no standards you are violating, so we can't defend it. So we'll either drop it or they'll push for it, in which case we'll see, this reprogramming for wrongthink continue to expand.
Some in the chat are saying, I hope he leaves Canada, get out of there, and maybe go somewhere else. I don't know. Others are saying, I love Jordan Peterson. Others are saying, I'm not a fan because, his staunch support of Israel. So there's that. I don't know. I mean,
I am not trying to present him as someone you should like or not like. I am trying to present these as opinions that should be held in a diverse society of thought.
We should absolutely be able to have this free speech. And of course, we know that Justin Trudeau's government does not want that.
Yes.
They want censorship of online social media. Social media, of course, has been a main target of the Trudeau administration. So this should not come as a surprise to any of us.
Yeah.
Well, to me, this seems like...
Wait, boys. Okay, Philip first.
Sorry. Yeah. So to me, it seems like with the social media platforms, it's sort of like a parent and a child relationship where the parent is really reactionary and comes up with punishments on the spot that the kid didn't know what the outcome would be. Like they don't know, a young child doesn't know what the repercussions of something are. So I was always big on like when raising my daughter, that if she didn't know what penalty would be imposed, there would be no penalty. Because you can't just like throw a penalty out there if the actions weren't known. And that's what the social media companies, like, we don't know the rules. We don't know how they're going to react. So like even this segment here, like if YouTube decided we don't like this, then we get in trouble, but we don't know. It's not in their guidelines because in their guidelines, they put little things like or other things at our discretion.
And
so like, so it's like everything else is clearly laid out. And then you have or if we feel like it, basically. And so it's just like, we don't know in any of these places, we don't know what the penalty will be and we don't know what the rules are. And yet they're being enforced and they're trying to enforce it on a societal level when none of us really understand the rules.
It's shadow boxing.
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, what also frustrates me is that people are like, you have to agree with somebody 100% of the time or you don't like them. It's like, there's like 50% of what Jordan Peterson says I agree with and 50% I don't, but I don't throw him out and just like say, oh, nothing he says is relevant.
Right.
Like there's so many people that have a relevancy and you just have to look at like what you agree with them and what you don't, but not throw them out. Trying to get people to listen to Joe Rogan sometimes. They're like, oh, I'm not going to go listen to that interview because Joe Rogan's a, right-wing nutbag. I'm like, I'm not asking you to listen to Joe. I'm asking you to listen to the person that's on there. So it's like people just throw people out based on one thing they don't like about him, and that frustrates me.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, like on this show, I mean, we have, 55,000 people watching us live right now,
mm-hmm.
right? Not everyone's going to agree with us. We're going to have a lot of different opinions on, you know.
Right, but doesn't it depress you a little bit that as hard as we work to bring information that's not ours, just information we find and think people should know about, that there is a little bit in it that they have to like us in order to hear? Mm. And that's a little disheartening that, you know.
Yeah,
but at least they like us enough for now.
I think it's human nature. Like, you want people to like you. Like, I don't do this show hoping that all the, you know, 25,000 of you watching on YouTube right now and the 20,000 of you watching us on Rumble right now, or 18, 19,000 on Rumble, like that you're like, I love the show, I love all the context, but I really can't stand you.
Right.
Like, yeah, that would bother me. Like, I'd like go to bed tonight, be like, oh, that sucks. You know, like, yeah, you want
but
to
no,
please
I can,
people.
I can see what Natalie's saying, though, and that is, it's like if you don't have the personality to deliver information, people won't hear it, no matter how good the information
yes.
is,
yeah.
and that's
right.
that is sad.
Yeah,
and especially for me, because as I get older, I get increasingly unlikable, so I have to work on that.
This is true. I mean, no, it's not true. What are you talking about? You become more pleasant every day.
No, I get better and better at alienating well-intentioned people.
Hey, I just want to point out that this show exploded once you came on. I'm just pointing that out. Pulling it out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm your secret weapon,
That's
honey.
Right. That's right. So, hey, subscribe to the channel. We've got a lot more news to get to here on the show. In fact, in a little while, we're going to be moving over to Rumble exclusively tonight because there's, frankly, a story we can't cover on YouTube because...
Oh, because we've tried. Because we're going to tell you about CDC data, about adverse...
Don't go details, but yes.
...events.
Okay.
And we've done that before, and it earned us a two-week suspension. This is, again, it's not our data. We're just reading publicly available data, and we get punished for it. So we're not even going to try on the platform where we were punished before. We're going to bring it exclusively over to Rumble.
I was going to say that's because we went with the CDC data, not the CDC guidelines.
Which okay.
means okay.
two different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's,
so
you can't
YouTube,
do that.
YouTube's got their own. YouTube's got their own science. So you got to, you know, go with the YouTube science. So we will go over to Rumble. Reminder, everyone, make sure you get a Rumble channel. Rumble subscription set up. It's totally free. Our channel on Rumble is rumble.com/redacted. So, you know, come on over there. But we're not moving there just yet exclusively. We've got a few more stories we want to get to here first. Before we do that, though, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because right now you can get up to 15 free stocks, totally free, when you sign up by going to redacted.inc/Moomoo. Right now, they've just after the new year, they have 15 free stocks available for you. You set up your account. It's a trading platform, and it's one of the largest brokerages out there. So it's a NASDAQ-listed company, and you download it on a Mac, on a Windows, iOS, Android. And just for downloading the account and getting set up, you'll get a free stock. And then once you make your initial deposit, you're not spending money, you're just putting money into the account to activate it. $100 level, $1,000 level, you get additional free stocks, and then you're entered into their big New Year's $60,000 sweepstakes. So right now, the market is kind of crazy right now. It's all over the place, right? It's the lowest it's been since 2008. So if you get these free stocks, you're probably getting them at a really good time, and then you could just sit there with this account and do nothing. You don't have to spend any of your own money. You could just sit there with them, and frankly, you could never do anything with the account. And then you could sell the stocks in a year when they go up in value, and then you made a few thousand bucks, you know, and then you can sell the stocks and then put them back in your own personal bank account, whatever you want to do. Or you could learn to trade stocks. You could learn how to invest and use some of their free trading platforms, education tools that they have on Moomoo, which is really great as well. So again, go to redacted.inc. redacted.inc, that's our website, /Moomoo, that's M-O-O-M-O-O, to get your 15 free stocks right now, and you'll get a chance to be entered into their $60,000 sweepstakes. So again, redacted.inc/Moomoo. All right, we've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about this abortion pill story in just a second. We're keeping our eye on what's going on in Washington right now as well, because the House is still holding its breath on what's going to happen with Kevin McCarthy and whether or not, I mean, they've heading towards this 10th vote, and whether or not he's going to cash in his chips and say, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore. At one point, 164 years has the speed. We've never had this type of a battle for the speakership,
you know,
in 164 years.
If, This just goes to show you, if AOC and the squad would have done the vote, forced the vote on Medicare for All, that they actually could have done something, because that's basically what they're doing. They're demanding things for their vote, and that's how it should be. And they could have kept Nancy Pelosi out of the House or out of the speakership if they would have used that to leverage against like Medicare for All and other things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So they are right now in the 10th vote right now. So they just started the 10th round of voting. So this is the first time in 164 years that we've had this type of battle. So it's now official. We're entering the 10th vote, and McCarthy has been nominated for the 10th House Speaker ballot. And we'll see. We'll keep our eye on it through the night. No, that's all right. But we're just watching right now. No votes are in. Philip was asking me if I wanted to do the laptop. I'm just checking in here for a second. So we'll come back to that in a moment. All right. Well, let me just get my notes up here.
All right. I can't wait to hear this conspiracy theory you have about abortion pills.
All right. So I have a conspiracy theory that I want to present to all of you. And you know what we say about conspiracy theories here on the show. They're just spoiler alerts for what we're about to learn in 6 months.
I'm going to sit back for this one.
So sit back, pull up your pants, wake up grandma for this story. If grandma's if grandma's asleep on the couch, like say, grandma, wake up for this story, because Clayton's about to lay forth a conspiracy theory. We'll see if he's correct on this one. So get ready. Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum keep proving us right on all of these conspiracy theories that we bring forth and tell you about, and then they end up being proven true. My conspiracy theory is about the abortion pill. Here we go. So this battle, here's my theory on this. This battle over Roe v. Wade, all of the Supreme Court drama that played out over the summer, was just cover for the real story now unfolding. We're now seeing it, and it's being done quietly, because all of this was the drama that you're seeing on your screen. Like, this is the public-facing part of this. The real story, though, is behind the scenes in Washington and in the halls of the biopharmaceutical complex that we don't ever get to hear about. Big Pharma gets to fast-track, almost immediately, abortion pills to the entire country. That's the real story. Stay with me on this. So on Friday, June 24th of 2022, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, you'll recall. And within just a few minutes, the Biden administration already had in place a fast-track expansion plan to expand access to the abortion pill. Already, it was rolled out that afternoon. It was the abortion pill known as Mifepristone. Mifepristone. I'm going to say that wrong all night. I apologize. There it is. Well, that's the sister pill as well, Misoprostol. So they're taken in tandem. Mifepristone and Misoprostol go hand in hand. You take them in tandem. Anyway, along with,
we could call them M&Ms, but that would be dangerous confused.
They hope you'll take them like M&Ms. That's the goal, that you just pound them like that. So the Biden administration already had in place this plan to fast track the expansion and expand access to this abortion pill, along with the government plan to get these abortion drugs out to people as soon as possible. Watch HHS.
Last Friday, President Biden announced the actions he is taking to ensure medication abortion is available to the full extent possible, and that women can travel safely from states where abortion is now banned to states where abortion is legal. Here's how HHS will support these issues. First, HHS will take steps to increase access to medication abortion. Federal law requires our programs to provide medication abortion in certain circumstances, such as the life of the woman, rape, or incest. Now, more than ever, it is imperative that all federally supported programs and services are complying with the law.
Yeah, get these things out as quickly as possible. Some legal scholars at the time were, in fact, advising the president, and still are, to treat abortions just like COVID and use emergency powers to get these drugs in the hands of women as soon as possible. Emergency use authorization. Where have we heard this before? And by the way, I did say women, not people who birth, just to be clear. So this is from Politico. Some legal scholars who favor abortion rights argue the FDA should assert that its drug approval decisions preempt actions by states to limit or ban use of mifepristone. The notion of preemption, which derives from the Constitution's Supremacy Clause, says that the federal law trumps state law when the two conflict. So use that power. Mm-hmm. In fact, nearly a year before Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision, the Biden administration was already working with Big Pharma to do this ahead of time. In fact, here is the headlines. Biden administration eases access to abortion pills. This was already in the works to make it easier to get access to mifepristone, the abortion drug. Yes, in 2021, they did this. The Biden administration changed the rule so you no longer needed to pick it up in person. You could order it on the internet, have it shipped right to your front door, courtesy of Big Pharma. Additionally, and perhaps coincidentally or not coincidentally, a series of YouTube videos suddenly surfaced touting the benefits of using mifepristone and its partner drug, misoprostol, which are taken in tandem. So these videos build up Google juice so that when you search for this drug, these videos dominate the search results. And see these on your screen here. You notice the 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. They all just magically popped up. All favorable videos, by the way. Like, this is great. What is it? With like cute little pictures of pills. You know, how taking abort, managing your miscarriage. Oh, that's what we're calling it. Here's how we do it. These videos were all produced by Yashoda Hospital Group, the Yashoda Hospital Group. Now, we could make a whole separate video on the massive for-profit hospital system, Yashoda Hospital Group, out of India. But for now, we'll just mention that they teamed up separately with Mark Zuckerberg's Metaverse to become the first virtual hospital and virtual clinic in Mark Zuckerberg's Meta virtual world. So here's Yashoda Hospitals. You can just walk right up and in Mark Zuckerberg's virtual world and go right to a virtual clinic. You know, need an abortion pill? Need any sort of counseling? Go, just do it right inside of the inside the metaverse. Come to our virtual walk-in clinic. So that, and put on your VR headset to do it, by the way. So you get the full immersive experience. You can walk around in your rainbow-colored shirt, hang out. So that's one part of this thread. The other part is the adverse reactions of these medications and why we never hear about it. And it's almost like the suppression around COVID-19 vaccines. So to set the stage, Dr. Peter McCullough reminded us that it doesn't take much at all for the FDA or other, you know, countries' health services like the NHS to, you know, to step in and pull these drugs off the shelf, right? When there's an adverse effect. In fact, you can count them on one hand usually, these adverse effects, when one patient dies or two patients die, very minimal from using these drugs, they pull them off the shelves. But not with the abortion pill.
Or birth control.
Or the birth control pill, which it's all tied together. I mean, it's all part of this whole plan, right? So the adverse effects from mifepristone, the brand name Mifeprex, are cataloged deeply on the FDA's website. This is the FDA.gov. Here's a video. Here's actual footage this afternoon as I'm going through the FDA's website. You can see the post-marketing adverse effects events of mifepristone. You can see how many deaths. Oh, 28 deaths. The estimated number of women who have died using mifepristone in the U.S. for medical termination of pregnancies, an estimated number of women has 5.6 million women have used it to terminate pregnancies. 5.6 million. And 28 women have died. Ectopic pregnancies, 97. But the list, as we scroll further down, is unbelievable because it shows thousands of adverse events as a result of it. Just look at the list of adverse events. Oh, severe cystic fibrosis, some people, lung infections, had to have a lung transplant or someone with a lung transplant, respiratory decompensation with secondary pulmonary infection 30 days after mifepristone in a patient on the lung transplant list with diabetes. There's tons of adverse effects on here. Thousands, as you can see on this list here. And just in the past year, two additional deaths have been added to the agency's reported deaths attributed to the abortion pill. The FDA report also shows that the Biden administration and Big Pharma are getting their way. The estimated number of women who have used this now for medical termination of pregnancies through the end of June 2022 was approximately 5.6 million. And that was an increase of 14%. 70,000 additional women in this past year started using this drug. 14% increase from 4.9 million the year before at the end of June 2021. So that's a 14% increase. Let me repeat that. The number of women who have used the drug to terminate a pregnancy through the end of June 2022 is 14% higher than it was the year before. The reason I point out the June 2022 part is because the numbers had already increased 14% before the Supreme Court decision. So this was not because of the Supreme Court decision. This was before the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. So again, all planned. And then last night, the Biden administration took things one step further and made this stunning announcement. Watch.
For the first time, retail pharmacies will be allowed to offer prescribed abortion pills in the U.S. The FDA announced the regulatory change on Tuesday, which could significantly expand abortion access through medication.
So it won't stop there. The eventual goal, of course, is selling them over the counter wherever you go. To gas stations, airports, nightclubs, vending machines. And it doesn't matter how many women are affected by the abortion pill. They only care about the profit. How many adverse effects? Doesn't matter. Just like the birth control pill. They don't care. And they won't talk about it. They won't talk about the blood clots. They won't talk about the strokes. They won't talk about any of that. We've been covering on this show how the eugenics program of the early 1900s never went away. They've simply evolved with the help of the biopharmaceutical complex to make it easier and more convenient to control the population, while at the same time, Big Pharma can make trillions of dollars off of that control. The World Economic Forum and the billionaire class want population control, and they put their money where their mouth is. The company that makes the drug mifepristone is called Danco Laboratories. And many people have tried to figure out who owns this company. Good luck. Who's running the show at Danco Laboratories in Manhattan? We don't know. They're incredibly secretive about its stakeholders, but Carol Novelli has been shedding light on it, and she's been researching this deeply. She discovered the population control champion Warren Buffett is a huge funder of Danco Laboratories, and it's not surprising. Also on the list, George Soros is another major investor. Yes, another huge fan of population control. Huge fans of the World Economic Forum and that mission. So we could keep pulling this thread, and we will, but for now, that's all I'm going to say about this, my conspiracy theory. That's all I'll say about the deep state money and all of this and the World Economic Forum agenda on this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Like, let me know in the comments below. Am I close on this? Am I wildly off base?
So what you're implying is that the Supreme Court ruling was intentional and intentionally could have been intentionally pioneered by the biopharmaceutical complex in order to expand access of abortion through pharmaceuticals rather than abortion through
clinics,
clinical procedures, right, which do not actually involve a pharmaceutical usually.
Right. So clinics, none of these doctors actually, I've seen interviews, they don't actually want to be performing these things, right? So it gets them off the hook for having to do them. The clinics then don't have
to be... Right, it also makes their lives safer.
Safer. The doctors don't want to have to do them, right?
Yeah.
The clinics don't have to worry about security. And then it gives huge trillions of dollars to the biopharmaceutical companies to be able to, to do it.
If you think of it too, it cuts out the doctor. The doctors are the ones that are facing the penalties potentially for doing this in states where it's not allowed. But the pharmaceutical companies generally have clauses in their contracts that don't allow that. And did you say that this was under the emergency use also?
No, I said that legal scholars were trying to basically get the Biden administration to use the federal authority almost as an emergency, like using almost the similar authority through these shady, shady authorizations, not just the emergency use authorization, but as we featured in the first segment on the show tonight, there's like multiple shady authorizations, not just one that they get to use and that the Pentagon has used for COVID vaccines, so that you could put these under that for like emergency. We got to get these out to the states for human health care for women, right? We got to get these things out there. And they could put it under that auspices. And so a bunch of legal scholars have been championing the Biden administration to do this.
Yeah.
So there is incentive.
Well, think about it,
you know.
Well, I was going to say, like, with the doctors. So the doctors are off the hook, and the doctors can then say, if somebody goes in, they're like, hey, you know, we can't do it because it's illegal in the state, but I heard there's some medication you can get. And again, like, the pharmaceutical company is never on the hook for anything that they have. So therefore, it just makes it so pretty much anybody can do it. And the doctors are safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, like, some of the YouTube videos out there are actually crazy. They're like, how to have this thing at home. Like, hey, now you can do it at home. Like, it's like DIY. Like, you don't even need a clinic.
And it doesn't care what gender you are. You can take it if you're a man or a woman, right?
Right.
Right.
Just do it from the safety of your own home.
But you think that the Supreme Court justices were, like, that there's a possibility? Because, I mean, most of the cases that the Supreme Court takes on
are
corporate cases. And most of the time they rule in favor of corporations.
Almost
the ones,
always.
The sexy ones that we know about, gay marriage or...
abortion.
Yeah, or universities, admission practices and things like that are few and far between what the Supreme Court is actually busy with.
Yeah,
what they're normally doing is, advocacy for corporations.
Yeah, the headline-making cases never get to see. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, an add to your conspiracy, like, the fact that the first time in history that was leaked before it happened, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So why was that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew that it would get the public in outrage so that there would be more people like, oh, there's a solution.
Yeah. We've already got a solution ready to go. We've already drafted a whole framework about how we're going to get these pills out more quickly to all of you.
Yeah.
So we knew that this was coming, and they knew it was happening months ahead of time. They knew that this groundwork was being laid. So there's my conspiracy theory.
Okay. Well, it's not a non-zero possibility.
Yeah,
It's a non-zero possibility.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right? It's not without the outside of the realm of possibility is what I'm trying to say.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah. Well, we've got more news to get to tonight on the show. But for doing that, we are going to move over exclusively to Rumble, because our next story we simply cannot cover on YouTube because they will block and suspend us, because they have before when we did this exact same story.
Well, this is not the exact same story.
Well,
we have new data.
I know.
I'm just going to tell you what it is, come on over. I'm going to tell them that we have data of the CDC's own tracking system for tracking responses to the COVID vaccine starting December of 2020. This is data they did not want to hand in, but the Epoch Times filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and they have it. They've published it. And so come over here to Rumble to see it.
That's right. So where do you go? You go to rumble.com/redacted. That's the place to go. We are on Rumble Live, where we can actually do this free of censorship. Much love to all of our folks on YouTube. Please come on over to Rumble right now. The live stream will continue there, unabated, without any censorship. And we will cover this CDC story. We will wait for you. So come on over for a second. Great. We are now live exclusively on Rumble. And while we wait for a lot of our YouTube friends to join us, I want to tell you about our redacted store, because it is up and running. And if you just go over to redactedstore.com, you can grab some fantastic merchandise and support independent journalism. If you want to pick up a mug, a t-shirt, a hoodie, a tumbler, a hat, we've got a whole bunch of great merch. We're working on some new ones. Some new designs. We're working on our sticker set as well. Grim is working on that. So we've got a bunch of stuff that we're working on. And hey, we'll take requests. Let me know in the chat. Is there something specific that you would like? What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing at
if I want a Clayton body pillow, will you guys make a Clayton body pillow?
Yes, that's a great
idea. For no
reason.
I'm asking for a friend. for a friend.
Body
pillow. I'm your brother.
Do we have self-inking stamps?
Yeah, we could get a self-inking stamps. A Clayton body pillow. But the problem is I'm 6 feet two, so you'd have to have a bed that could support this massive man.
Mm-hmm.
Can they fill a body pillow with that much fluff? Or iron? Or steel?
Yeah, I don't think they can stuff enough love into a pillow.
That's right.
To make it that...
redacted dot, maybe we could get like redacted beards, like David's beard. We could do like a redacted beard.
I actually trimmed it. I used my beardscape.
Someone would say, what are you for Halloween? I'm David from Redacted.
Yeah. So you can wear your beard.
I could pull it off. I could pull it off very convincingly, actually. Okay. I look like David with black glasses. I really do. I look like David with black glasses.
Someone says, I want the MyPillow guy. You want a Mike Lindell in our store? Wouldn't that be funny if we put, like, we asked if Mike would become part of our redacted store where you could just buy Mike Lindell, like a stuffed Mike Lindell or like dinner with Mike Lindell? You don't want that?
You know what I think we should do? Just sell a whole bunch of stuff on the store, like whatever we want. And then when people order it, they never get it. And we say, sorry, it's been redacted.
That's a good idea. I like that.
I don't think we're going to get many customers that way.
Right. Let's open a store and then make everything unavailable.
And then we don't sell anything.
Everything will be redacted. It sounds like an idea my kids would come up with.
Right.
Son, that's a great business idea. You're going to make a lot of money.
Property of David Foster on that with a stamp.
All right.
I'm still thinking about before we get started on the Rumble, like I'm obsessed with this idea that Sasha had brought up in the first segment, and that's the idea of like I now have a new idea of how I want the world to end, and it's pandemic of goats.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That, I was like, yes, pandemic of goats. I'm holding out for pandemic of goats. We need a pandemic of
goats. What do you think sounds fun
t-shirt.
About that?
No, or a pandemic of sheep.
Why?
I don't know. The one
pandemic
day
of goats.
Let's play this out.
No, what's great about it? Like, can you imagine, like, if there were goats everywhere? That's
and you just
how
couldn't,
I imagine.
And you
just
couldn't
goats.
Walk anywhere.
Oh, you mean a pandemic where there is a proliferation of goats? Not that all the goats are dying and you want to watch that.
No, hell no.
Okay.
No, I want the opposite. I want goats everywhere, on every corner. Okay. Just goats.
I want that too.
Everywhere.
This is a dark woman.
It's like, why are we making goats suffer?
Wow.
It's like Lilith from Frasier. Wait, why do you want all these goats to die? Why are we killing goats? The one day... Because we live in, we live in Europe, and we're out, and we live near farmland, and you're literally be driving down a little old country road, and you'll have to stop for a few minutes while a guy is like a shepherd is walking by with like 100 sheep. So one afternoon, I'm just sitting there having my coffee out front, and I just down the street just comes like hundreds of sheep, and I'm like, what the hell? And there's like a shepherd just walking with his sheep. And do you call them shepherds anymore? Is that politically correct anymore?
Oh yeah, I think so.
It's an ungendered.
World. Well, I don't know if like that's like
one who herds sheep is one, a shepherd.
Shepherd, yeah, I guess. So. But and he acted like he
it's
would
a
think.
Two-legged with his four legs.
You would think that maybe you evolve like after hundreds of years of doing the thing like that. Like no, but this guy looked like that. He had a stick and he yelled out.
And a dog.
And you thought like, wow, they haven't, like technology for sheep herding has not changed. Like they've kept the same technology, a stick, and he's going, yeah, bah, 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 and they're just like.
Well, darling, if it ain't broke.
Yeah. But I couldn't cross the street. My point is, I felt like that afternoon there was a pandemic of sheep and I couldn't.
But it was no problema.
And man, it was bad.
She was waiting all night to use that.
That's no problema.
Once a month, we get to hear the no problema.
It's my favorite.
It's a totally different animal, by the way.
I know that, but they look similar.
My God.
All right. Are you ready for this CDC data? Are you ready for some CDC data?
Yes, I'm waiting for the CDC data.
All right.
So this is a story we could not do on YouTube because we would have been banned for it.
Okay.
Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to cover the warmonger that just got a brand new job. Unbelievable story. I mean, not surprising at all, but we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about what the Biden administration is doing, because they've got some New Year's goals, the Biden administration. Their goals of tax and spend. I mean, are you paying attention to what they're doing? Because it's not going to get any better. And with the Republicans in Congress, it's not getting any better. $1.7 trillion being spent. They're turning a blind eye to inflation. We're seeing massive layoffs now. Amazon announcing 18,000 layoffs, thousands of additional layoffs at Salesforce. So things are not good. Are your retirement plans in line? You need to diversify right now with gold and make sure that you've got your family taken care of with gold and silver to have some stability something that's lasted for 4,000 years. That's the beauty of gold. You can diversify with Birch Gold. I'm tired of my money being impacted by stupid decisions by leaders in Washington. So for over 5,000 years, gold has withstood inflation, geopolitical turmoil, stock market crashes, you name it. And here's great news. You can still get gold. In fact, you can own gold and silver, actual physical gold and silver, in a tax-sheltered retirement account that you control. This isn't like a retirement account that the government controls. You control it because it's a self-directed retirement account that you control. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in precious metals. Here's what you need to do. Visit birchgold.com/redacted today to claim your free info gold kit. With almost 20 years experience converting IRAs into 401ks into precious metals IRAs, Birch Gold can help you. Protect yourself today with gold by visiting birchgold.com/redacted. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, countless five-star reviews. Secure your future with Birch Gold today. Get your free gold kit right now. There's zero obligation. Just learn about it, understand it, how you can actually set up this self-directed account. It's a game changer. We have a self-directed account, and you absolutely need to get it. Go to birchgold.com/redacted today. All right, let's talk about this. So failed network television network CNN, you know that network, right? Which I don't know if you know about CNN. It used to be a channel that people watched in their homes, but is now only found on televisions at airports and hot dog stands. They have a brand new team member. So congratulations. We have a brand new team member. Buckle your seatbelts for this one. I can tell you who this is. See if you can guess who this is. Just watch how giddy and excited this CNN news anchor is to announce their brand new partner. Not going to give it away, but she literally jumps out of her seat to welcome their brand new warmonger partner. Watch.
Now up front now, former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger. I am pleased to welcome him to CNN. He's appearing tonight for the first time in his new role, which is senior political commentator. And Congressman, we really are thrilled to have you on board. So welcome. Welcome. People have seen you over the past, of course, couple of years at the January 6th committee. And we're so glad to have you on board. So
it's great to be on the team, by the way. Thank you. I'm excited.
All right. So here you are tonight, not about to go to the House floor for the
blushing.
First time in 10 years.
She's so excited
to do that.
She's just so giddy, just so happy.
She's being welcoming in the workplace. I mean, that's the shtick. You have to act like that.
Do you?
You know how.
If you're in the corporate, if you're in the corporate media, you have to act like that. If you're
Clayton, you on Fox have interviewed people who literally were responsible for other people's deaths. Like, you know the business. You can't be like, you've made decisions that killed people. And that's just how it goes. Like, that's how we, you know, that we both have sat in the makeup chair next to these people.
Yeah, I've interviewed people, but I you know, again, welcoming a colleague who literally was calling for World War III. I'm just pointing out the welcome committee.
But that's the weirdness of the business, right? Like, we don't have to do that anymore.
That's why we're not there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, anyway, I never had definitely never had any experience like what she just had, to be clear. Remember, Kinzinger is one of the great peddlers of fake news on Congress.
Congress.
So it's appropriate that he would join CNN. Remember when spreading the fake story about the fake Ukrainian fighter pilot shooting down all those Russian jets called the Ghost of Kiev? Remember that? So he was, and this tweet is still available. I mean, it's still up, baby. You can still hasn't fixed this, hasn't apologized for it, hasn't corrected the record, doesn't care. To the Ghost of Kiev, we raise a glass. Here's to even more. Keep shooting down those Russians. Totally a fake story. Totally debunked. Yes, that was fake. Just like the phony Russiagate story. But that didn't stop him. Here he is tweeting about that. Unacceptable to the New York Times pushing this fake story. Russia fingerprints are on thousands of fake Facebook and Twitter accounts that posted anti-Clinton messages. Oh, really? Are they?
Go back to just yesterday's show. We talked all about that.
He says, unacceptable. We must counter Russian propaganda and disinformation and utilize the tools we have to prevent further attacks on our democracy. Caitlin Johnstone has a good take on all of this over the past 24 hours. Here's what she says about Kinzinger. Nobody in Congress lobbied as aggressively to start World War III as Adam Kinzinger did last year. He tried to advance a bill authorizing hot war against Russia if Moscow crossed specific red lines in Ukraine, but couldn't get co-sponsors because even his fellow congressional hawks thought it was too insane. He was the loudest voice in the U.S. government publicly advocating a no-fly zone over Ukraine. In the early weeks of the war, an idea that was slammed by the mass media as it would necessarily have entailed the U.S. military shooting down Russian warplanes and aggressively tempted nuclear war. The very first day on the job at CNN, he defended fellow neoconservative Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw, who is a supporter of Kevin McCarthy, yesterday blasted any Republican, by the way, and called them terrorists who would oppose the vote for Kevin McCarthy. He then even called them, he called them terrorists first. So, like, I guess Matt Gaetz is a terrorist, according to Dan Crenshaw. And so is anyone who voted against McCarthy. Then he later even came out and called them narcissists in this interview. Watch.
This handful of members is very clearly looking for notoriety over principle. That's what it is. And anyone who suggests differently is in some kind of make-believe fantasy reality. It's not true. They lost those debates. That should have been the end of it, because that's how a team works, right? You hash this stuff out, you figure it out, and then you move on. But if you're a narcissist, and you believe that your opinion is so much more important than everyone else's, then you'll keep going. And you'll threaten to tear down the team for the benefit of the Democrats.
So you're a narcissist and you're a terrorist if you
don't
support.
That's rich coming from him.
Right, I know. So that's unbelievable. That's the kind of rhetoric. But anyway, Adam Kinzinger came right to his defense yesterday. Like, this is like his first day on CNN. He comes right to his defense. The world can now see what we had to deal with for years, he writes to Matt Laszlo, who put these effing people. Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas tells me after leaving the House floor, they're just being clowns. See, the world can see what we had to deal with for years. You mean people like, I mean, I don't know what your opinion is of Matt Gaetz or Lauren Boebert or anybody. But he's called for the end of the war in Ukraine. He's called for the end of sending $50 billion or $100 billion into an empty black hole in Ukraine. So that's a start. He's called for a balanced budget. Imagine that. And he's also called to secure the border. So he's a terrorist? Okay. Anyway, this is who we had to deal with for years, Adam Kinzinger. So CNN, the Illinois Republican, has served in the House since 2011, Adam Kinzinger did, and operated mostly under the radar until about 2021, when he suddenly became very outspoken against Donald Trump, anti-Trump. Became a very publicly anti-Trump Republican. He served as one of the only two Republicans on the House Select Committee on January 6th. And further increased his public prominence, becoming more active on social media. Then he went out announcing he was part. He even said he was part of like the deep state Ukrainian fellas. He even famously pushed for a U.S. escalation with Russia and is pretty okay with using nuclear weapons. That's Adam Kinzinger that CNN just hired. Recently, he started heating up his anti-Trump Republican talking points, appearing on CNN just a few days before it was official that he signed with them. And he said that the party will become a hotbed of extremists under President Trump if he is reelected and the party takes leadership with him again. So here he is on New Year's Day on CNN. Watch unbiased news anchor Dana Bash calling him patriotic for his work on the January 6th committee. And he explains why his opinion that Trump should go to jail. So watch Dana Bash. Like, he's not even a colleague yet, and she's already very effusive. Watch.
Result of that patriotic service, they both are now leaving Congress. Joining me now
Republican. Can you pause that for a second?
Of Illinois, Adam.
She's not leaving Congress. She was voted out.
Right.
Liz Cheney.
I know.
She says that because of this brave break with the Republican Party over January 6th, they're both leaving Congress.
Yeah.
She lost her election.
Right. She was kicked out. But to Dana Bash, that's why I joked and said unbiased, she's patriotic. So she was doing her patriotic duty.
That's such shit.
That's CNN. So continue. So
please continue, you sons of bitches.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Let's start with the work that you've been doing over the past almost 2 years, the January 6th committee. It's over. And it's now in the hands of the Justice Department. Do you think that President Trump ultimately will be charged for crimes?
Look, I mean, when I got into this, when we started this process, I didn't know, you know, I'm not a lawyer, not a Justice Department guy, didn't necessarily know, is he guilty of a crime or not? Obviously, what he did from a presidential perspective, from an oath perspective, is a problem. As we've gotten into this, I look and I'm like, yeah, if this is not a crime, I don't know what is. If a president can incite an insurrection and not be held accountable, then really there's no limit to what a president can do or can't do. And so, yeah, I do think ultimately when we get to where we're going to go, I think the Justice Department will do the right thing. I think he will be charged. And I frankly think he should be. I mean, everything we've uncovered from what he did with the Justice Department to everything leading up to January 6th to on January 6th, sitting there for 180 minutes and watching this occur in the hope that maybe, just maybe, that last attempt to stay in power will work.
So he should be charged and convicted.
That's my personal opinion.
So that's your new senior political commentator at CNN.
So they're looking for the brave break with the party Republicans. They got their guy.
I mean, I don't know.
I just, but watching him speak, the way he talks, like his mannerisms. You remember the guy from Something About Mary with the 7 minute abs? No, 7 minute abs, not 8 minutes. You know, like, like he just, it's like his mannerism. I was just like, who does that remind me of? And I was like, I was racking my brain. He's like, oh my God, it's the 7 minute abs guy. But anyway, sorry about that. That's irrelevant.
I'm going to have to look him up.
You know, it's good to know, though, you'll have a senior political commentator going into the next election who will be unbiased in his coverage of, you know, President Trump running for office as a senior political commentator.
Yes, right? They showed themselves so unbiased by saying that Liz Cheney left her job.
Like, I'm so glad to have you here in our studio, Adam. Thank you so much. You are very patriotic and very brave. You know, so CNN just announced they will no longer lean to the left. This was a big announcement by their, what is his name? Chris Licht, their new head of CNN. They're no longer going to lean to the left. They won't lean to the right. They're going to be unbiased. The unbiased news source
bring in
that you trust.
Two Republicans, and that's going to make them balanced.
We're going to bring in a Republican who hates Trump, which is like the entire network. So here we go. But of course,
what they did is they have everybody to the left, and then they brought in one guy that's so far right that it just balances it all out.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't bring a guy that was just right leaning. They had to bring so far right,
a neocon,
Trump.
Yeah,
a neocon that hates Trump to just balance it out.
Because that's their whole network, though, as it is. Neocons that hate Trump, like that's the neocons they have on their air now, are there to promote war, to push for World War III, the members of the deep state, but they hate Trump.
Yeah,
the deep state hates Trump. Right? That's why he was pushed out. Right. So January 6th was so personal for Adam Kinzinger, for all those Capitol police that died that day defending the Capitol. You remember all of those Capitol police that died that day. Side note, no Capitol police died that day. He could barely contain himself, ignoring key parts of the January 6th rally, like the FBI agent Ray Epps, who still has not been arrested or even questioned by the January 6th committee. But he's super upset that our nation is under siege by Trump supporters. Watch.
Longy fuses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you to my colleagues on the committee. Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days. How we take accountability for that. And for all the overheated rhetoric surrounding this committee, our mission is very simple. It's to find the truth, and it's to ensure accountability.
So why are you?
Was he in the same area as AOC? Like, could you imagine them two having a conversation about that day?
Yeah.
We're crying back and forth.
We were on the same day. So if it's all about truth and accountability, then why are key parts of this story not being told to the committee? Like, why are the interviews being kept away? Why are, you know, key witness testimonies being suppressed? So you're all about the truth and you're crying about these guys. And you're full of crap. So I don't know. Well, I just find it hilarious.
I did like a couple of local exclusives where I covered the first two of those meetings or hearings. And by the third one, I just was done because there was like, it was completely biased. They didn't show any of the counter evidence, nothing. They would not bring in a single person that had any counter evidence of anything. And so I was like, this is just a Democrat show to, you know, get their base fired up to get, you know, something to do with Trump.
No, it,
there
was
nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. It was like Lifetime television, highly produced, you know, to evoke emotions.
Yeah. And I couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I'm not doing the next one.
So you'll be able to tune in for all of your political commentary with CNN's Adam Kinzinger. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that in the chat below. Let us know your thoughts. Will you be tuning in to CNN?
I'm more excited about the after show CNN Plus show he's going to probably get.
You know, I was thinking about the, you know, because CNN Plus collapsed within a month and it was disaster. I was thinking about Chris Wallace the other day. He was my former colleague at Fox News. And like he like said, you know, gave the big FU to Fox News and left and then went over to CNN Plus. Like he was going to ride off into the sunset with some big new career at CNN Plus. And like, whatever happened with that?
I don't know.
Fizzled down, you know, collapsed.
Maybe he's got excessive relaxation.
The only problem CNN Plus had is they didn't have the Republicans over there yet to keep it balanced. So people were still seeing it as a far left platform, so they wouldn't get on board. They tried getting Chris. Now if they would have had Adam and a couple other Republicans, probably would have survived.
Yeah, but Chris Wallace was not necessarily a far right Republican. He was
actually one of the only people on Fox I could watch.
Yeah.
He's more of a Democrat, actually. So anyway, well, there you go. That's the show on this Thursday night. We want to remind you. So you guys told me that there's a way that you can press a red button, right? So yes. I want to remind. So here's what's cool about Rumble, right? If you want to become a redacted VIP member, which is to support what we do here, support independent journalism, and we're going to be hiring some additional journalists here on the show, which is really exciting. What you can do is to support what we're doing. Just go to redacted.inc, and when you're there, or actually right here on Rumble. So right here on Rumble, there's a big red button that you can click on. See the big join button? You can click that. And if you'd like to support and join our locals community, you can, for like the price of a cup of coffee once a month. You can become a redacted rebel, a VIP member of what we do here. We are live every Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We'll have redacted locals exclusives that we will be releasing just to our locals members. So only content specifically for channel members. This will not go out publicly. It won't go out on YouTube. It won't go anywhere. It would only be for our redacted rebels to thank you for supporting our channel and to give you some great content, some great interviews that you will not see anywhere else. So please check it out. Go to redacted.inc, or you can right here on Rumble, just click that big red button and support our show. All right, we'll be back here again over the weekend with some additional content. We've got some great interviews coming up, and we will be back live on Monday night at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Much love to all of you guys. Have a great weekend, everyone, and be safe. Bye, everyone.
Bye.